We're continuing our studies in Hebrews chapter 3, and I want to read the first six verses. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 beginning, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and our and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confession, our confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end." This passage of Scripture is dealing with faithfulness, not only on the part of the Lord and a testimony of Moses' faithfulness, it's given to encourage us to be faithful. The Lord is leading many sons unto glory. He is sanctifying and setting apart and cleansing those that come to Him. And He has made provision for the little children as brought out, and all of this is in reference to chapter 2 of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 17, we know that He was raised from the dead that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Jesus Christ is our faithful high priest. We are encouraged to be faithful to Him. If we're not faithful to the Lord, there are consequences to pay. And we need to be reminded of that. We don't lose our salvation. And being faithful does not prove we're saved. Some people think that this verse 6 says, "Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" That if we do this, we are proving that we are saved. This verse of Scripture is not given to us to help us to prove we're in the family. We have one daughter. Many of you have more than one child. And I've never had my daughter come to me and say to me, "Have I proved that I am your daughter?" Doesn't happen that way. The Lord knows who knows His own. And we know whether or not we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that if we have, we're in the family. So this passage of Scripture here is saying to us, we need to be faithful like Moses was faithful. And one way that we can be encouraged to be faithful is to consider Jesus Christ as our example. He's talking to holy brethren. He is talking to those who are partakers of the heavenly calling, that is, to the calling unto His kingdom and glory. And He is encouraging us to consider Christ Jesus. He is our example. Last year, Payne Stewart was killed, as all of us read in the paper, with a tragic aircraft accident. And at the funeral, many of the pro-golfers were wearing bracelets which had the initials WWJD, or Yeah. And WWJD means what would Jesus do? And Jesus is the example for us so that we might know what to do in our walk with Him and being faithful. 1 Peter 2:21 tells us, even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. Jesus Christ is our example. Paul was an example too. He says, you do what I'm doing and you will be doing the right thing. And we need to look at Jesus Christ as our example so that we can live exemplary lives. People are looking at you. And they are judging your God by your behavior. And we need to follow the Lord's example and then be example to those around us. One of the things that Jesus did was that He endured. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, sitting and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest we be wearied and faint in our mind. One thing that we need to appreciate and realize is that we can become weary. We can become tired of living for Jesus. Anybody that says that that can't happen, they just don't know what the Scriptures teaches. We can become weary. We can faint. But we need to... The word looking means see how. That's how it's translated in another place. We need to see how Jesus endured. We need to see how Jesus endured the cross, endured contradiction of people against Him. And the word consider in verse 3... is the word that we get the English word analyze. We don't need to take a cursory glance at Jesus. We need to analyze what He did. And then not only to analyze it, but to apply it. Lest we become weary and faint in our soul. Actually, the word mind there is soul. When we become weary in our soul, then our soul begins to make wrong decisions. It's the soul, it's the mind that makes decisions. And it's the soul that experiences weariness and being fainting as well. Hebrews 3:2 tells us that that Christ Jesus was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. The Lord was faithful, so was Moses. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for He received from the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What does it mean to be faithful to the Lord? It means to be well-pleasing to Him. Jesus had that testimony. He was well-pleasing to God the Father. In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said unto His disciples, My meat is to do the will of Him that sent Me and to finish His work. What are we feeding on? What is our food? Is it to do that which is right in our own eyes? Or are we feeding upon His will and to do it? And to take a break toward the end of life? No. To finish. To finish His work. And Philippians 2:13 is an encouraging verse for us. We do have a tendency to become weary and to faint, but you know what? It's God that is working in us both to will and to do. He's working on our willpower. That is, He is counteracting the weariness and the faint-heartedness that we might encounter. And He is also working on how to do His good pleasure. In verse 5 of Hebrews 3, it says, "And Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant." That is significant. And the reason I'm saying that it's significant is because in verse 6, it says, "Christ as a son over his house." Moses was a servant. Jesus Christ is a son. What's the difference? A son is one who rules over a house. A servant is one who is in the house caring for the master. Moses was a servant. In Galatians 1 verse 4, Galatians 4 verse 1, Paul says, "Now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." The potential may be he will be a son. But right now, we are all servants of the Lord. And we need to behave ourselves as servants. In Hebrews 10, verse 23, it says, "Let us hold fast the profession or confession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." When we think about being servants of the Lord, we need to hold fast to our place in the family or in the household. He has offered to his servants rewards and an inheritance. And this, and rewards or inheritance, has to do with our hope. The hope of ruling and reigning with him. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." In just a moment, we'll be looking briefly at the potential of a servant in the household. And every servant in the household desires or has a hope of an inheritance. And we're talking about a child. We're talking about someone in the family. We're not talking about hoping to get saved. The hope of a Christian is not getting saved or that. But the hope of a Christian is to enjoy the blessings of the Lord in His coming kingdom. So, if we continue in the faith and grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, we will enjoy and we will enter into the blessings of the coming kingdom. In Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Abraham was faithful, and he will enter into the hope of his inheritance in the coming kingdom. And Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 tells us that the hope of a Christian is that of glory, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The reason it's a hope is because it can be missed. Some people want us to believe that the hope in the Bible is a sure thing. That creates confusion, confounded. Hope is not a sure thing. The hope of glory is not a sure thing. In Hebrews chapter 3 again, in verse 6, it says, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast with confidence or boldness and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end?" Whose house are we? We will be included in His house. I was trying to tie in the house of the Lord. I just think about the midwives in Egypt. Remember how that they saved all the men, the little boy babies, you know, didn't kill them like Pharaoh wanted. And because they did that, the Lord says, I'm going to make you houses. Now that was not the first institution of the Habitat for Humanity. That's not what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about building them a house down there in Goshen or Egypt. But these houses are places of honor. And the Lord says, I'm going to make you houses because they were faithful. There is also the house of Israel. There is the house of David. There is the house of Christ. And we are part of that house. And but we can be dismissed from the house. Not lose our salvation. We just simply lose the inheritance as a child because of our behavior. We need to hold fast with boldness the hope of glory firm unto the end. Luke chapter 12 gives us some insight into being a servant in the house of the Lord. In Luke 12, verse 42, it says, And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? The word steward means house overseer or home administrator, one who is ruling the affairs of the house. We find out that he is a servant in verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We're talking about a faithful servant in the house, and this servant is managing himself and the house of the Lord in a way that is pleasing to God. In chapter 12, verse 31, it says that a servant is to seek the kingdom of God. In verse 31, it says, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. A servant is not worried about his finances. He is worried about the house, the son who is in charge of the house, what he is concerned about. And what did the Lord tell his disciples? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. A servant in the house is not fearful in verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What happened to the servant that was fearful in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 24 through 26? When the Lord told this servant who had one talent, and then said he, which had received the one talent, came and said, Lord, I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant. This servant was dismissed from the household. He was afraid. He was fearful. He couldn't trust God to multiply the talent. A servant is one who has treasures in heaven. In verse 33 through 34, it says, Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief can approach, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A servant's heart is going to be where his treasure is. Giving of alms. I was trying to encapsulate these verses with thoughts. Giving of alms has to do with ministry. A servant is one who is interested in others. And they have a ministry of giving to others in need. In verse 35, it says, Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Why do you gird your loins? Well, if you're working in the house, you don't have them tucked under in your belt, you're going to trip over your tunic. And I know that many apply this to have your loins girded about so you can leave. Well, these were not leaving. These were expecting the master to return. And they had their tunics gathered about their loins, and I believe that that really has to do with ministry. In fact, the Lord tells His disciples in Mark chapter 10, verses 44 and 45, that if you're going to be chief, you need to be servant of all. Even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So a servant is going to gird himself and be working, and his lights are going to be burning. In other words, he's not going to quit when the sun goes down. What do you have the lights on for? So you can keep on after dark. This guy's not lazy. He is diligent. And a servant has that characteristic. In verse 36 it says, "And ye yourselves liken the men that wait for their Lord when he shall return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." The servants of the Lord are watching, are anticipating the Lord's return. What happens when you are expecting company? Do you trash the house? Some might. I saw some heads shaking this way. No, you don't trash the house. You clean up. A servant who is watching for the Lord to return is not trashing his life. He is not doing that which is right in his own eyes. He is doing those things that are pleasing to him. And so we need to be like servants that are watching. In verse 37 it says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself." You think that means that the Lord's getting ready to leave? No. The Lord's going to gird himself, and he's going to serve tables. He's going to serve those servants that were watching and waiting and living in the house in an acceptable manner. Then in verse 42, it says that those servants that do these things are faithful and wise. The Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household?" That's the hope of a wise and faithful steward, servant, is to rule and reign in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is going to include all the kingdoms of this earth. And the faithful will rule and reign over the house of the Lord. And he will give them their portion of meat in due season. I think that has to do with the meat of the Word and their supply. But a faithful and wise steward is going to be obedient. In verse 43, "Blessed is that servant when his Lord cometh shall so find doing." The emphasis is on the doing. Obedient. Verse 44 of Luke 12, "Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." He will be a ruling servant. But here is the warning. Verse 45. "But if that servant..." What servant? The servant who was wise. The servant who was faithful. "Say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat, drink, and to be drunken." Did you know that every one of us have the potential of being deceived by the great deceiver, the devil? And he's going to say, "My Lord delays his coming." What does it mean he delays his coming? Well, you look at the clock and you say, "Well, the house has been trashed. I've got time to go do something else." In other words, make no preparation. And we deceive ourselves because we don't know when the Lord's coming. What happens to this servant? In verse 46, "The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour when he is not aware, In other words, you can't look at your watch. You can't look at the calendar. You can see the signs of the time, but that doesn't tell you the day or the hour. And the Lord doesn't want us to know the day or the hour because He wants to live as if He was coming any moment. And notice that He will cut him asunder. He will cut him out. Actually, this word here, cut him asunder, means He will cut him off. What happened to those that were cut off in the camp of Israel? They were put outside beyond the borders of the camp. They were put out of the house, if you please. And it says, and He will appoint him his portion with the King James says, unbeliever. It's really the unfaithful. It's the same word as the word faithful servant that we read earlier in chapter 12. It just has the negative "ah" in front of it. That's all. That's the only difference. It has the letter A in front of it, like atheist. An atheist says that there is no God. And here is one who is not faithful. And they are the ones that are going to be cut off. They're not going to be a part of the house. In verse 47 it says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. I'm not so concerned about the being beaten with many stripes. It's a shame of being put out. Leave. Saved, yes, but not included in ruling over the house of the Lord. We need to hold fast our confession. We need to appreciate what Luke 16, verses 10 through 12 tells us. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore thou hast not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you trust the true riches? To your trust, excuse me, the true riches. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? The Lord won't do that. He was faithful. Moses was faithful. And we saw Moses and Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses was in the kingdom. Jesus is in the kingdom. Elijah also. But the emphasis here is on faithfulness upon the Lord's part, faithfulness on the part of a servant named Moses. And you and I are servants, and we need to do the same thing. If we're not going to be faithful, we will be shut out of the house. Not the family, just the house. May the Lord help us to be faithful in these days, because we're living in the days of lawlessness. And let me tell you, it will affect a child of God. And we need to know that. May the Lord help us to be a faithful and a wise steward of the Lord's business that He has given us. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that it gives us ample warning that if we are unfaithful to Thee, You will give us the portion that we deserve. You will cut us off, and we will be among the unfaithful, not ruling and reigning in Your house, but excluded. Not sovereigns, but continuing to be subjects, serving when we should be ruling. Lord, help us to be faithful to You. And we just want to express our appreciation and our thankfulness that You are faithful to us. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.